In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. We are part two of Luisa and re-entering the womb of the Celestial Father and the Divine Will. And this is tape number two. And we are on page four, the middle of the page, volume 20, 113, 1927. So Jesus begins, "You know that in the whole world, there is not one point for me in which I can share my happiness and receive return for them." So here Jesus is showing us that he wants us to live in his divine will. And he says, I can't share the full happiness that I have, and I can't receive any return of this love from creatures, because they're not living fully in the divine will. So he says this, "So the point of my happiness in the world is you, Luisa Picaretta. And this happiness of mine is formed by my speaking." So here, Jesus is saying now for 6,000 years, he has been silent with his great gift of the divine will. This is what he gave to Adam. Adam lost it. Jesus came 4,000 years later and redeemed Adam. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now, he says, my happiness is formed by my speaking. So he, as the Word of God, Jesus is speaking these truths to Luisa, so that he knows that when he says something, when he speaks, it happens. When he said, "Fiat lux, let there be light," everything in creation began. When Our Lady said, "Fiat mihi," the incarnation took place. And now the fiat voluntas tua, it's may your kingdom reign in us, this dust, this earth, as it is in heaven. And so the Lord is saying, my happiness is now back. He says, so when I, God, speak with you, Luisa, a creature, and make myself understood, it is divine happiness for me. It is full and superabundant happiness for the soul who listens to me. More so, so in speaking with you, Luisa, you being in my most holy divine will, I, God, speak to you within my will, my divine will itself, not outside of it. And I am, and he uses God's name, I am sure of being understood. So here, Jesus is saying, like I said, as he speaks to the one who is listening, that's Luisa at this point, now it's us. And as we link ourselves to Luisa, as we become one with Luisa, what happens? It's a real, really new beginning. He says, when I speak, you being in my most holy divine will, and that's what he's saying to us. He says, I want you to be in my most holy divine will. He says, because I speak to you within my divine will itself, not outside of it. So as you read the volumes, as you read the Book of Heaven, what happens is Jesus is leading you deeper and deeper into his most holy divine will. And he says, I am sure as God of being understood. So this is what happens. See, the divine will isn't difficult. The divine will is very simple. It's what Jesus is saying. And you listen to Jesus, and he's talking to us. He's speaking to us through Luisa. And he's letting us begin to understand that what he says is real. What he says is simple. What he says is happening as we read it. So he says this, more so, since in speaking to you, Luisa, about my most holy divine will, I, God, feel in you, Luisa, the divine happiness of my kingdom. And this is the reason why so many people say the little children of the holy divine will are so happy. Why are they so happy? Because Jesus says, you, as you read, as you listen to Jesus, you will feel within yourself the divine happiness of God's kingdom. It's peace, joy, and happiness. And what happens is the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin just disappear. That's not to be part of our life any longer. It's not to be have anything to do with us because we're getting to be one with God, fused with God in His most holy divine will. This is what's so beautiful about this gift. It's happening as He speaks to us, as we listen. As we begin to understand what this gift is all about. How glorious is this, that our God has given us this gift. So he says this, you feel within yourself the divine happiness of my kingdom, the echo of the happiness of the celestial fatherland. Why are we so happy? It's we are beginning to experience the I love you of God. We are beginning to experience the peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven. And again, like I said, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and even the sin begin to disappear from us. And Jesus says, this is how I'm going to test you, whether you can remain peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. Can you do this? Can you really begin to live this abundant life? So he says, do you know, my daughter, Louisa, what would happen? Since I, God, keep you, Louisa, in the supreme fiat, I, God, look upon you as the one from my celestial fatherland. See, we begin to live heaven on earth. May your kingdom come and reign in us on earth as the saints possess you in heaven. So he says, as I keep you, Louisa, in the supreme fiat, in the most holy divine will, I look upon you as one from my celestial fatherland. This is what we want to prove to Jesus through his test, that we are one from the celestial fatherland as well, one with Louisa. We're one with Jesus, one with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now we're one with Louisa, the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will. This is what God is looking at. What would you say if someone who already lives in heaven did not want to receive my new divine joys, which I naturally release from my womb to make all the saints in heaven happy. He says this very clearly. If somebody's already living in heaven and says, I don't want this, he says it can't happen. As you begin to live this, as you begin to read and study and put into practice the Book of Heaven, you begin to live heaven. you begin to fulfill the prayer of Jesus that he taught us. The one prayer, may your Father in heaven, may your kingdom come on earth in me as it is in heaven. In fact, it is my nature to give ever new beatitudes. I mean, that's God. That's heaven is continuously new. It's never the same. It's never, you know, sometimes we go, oh, I just want to just take it easy and just sit at a beach and just watch the waves come in, watch the waves go out, sit in the sun and get warmed by the sun. Heaven is way beyond that. The next time think about it, each instant is more beautiful than the last. Everything that God is doing is more spectacular. It can never be the same. It's always new, always beautiful. Why? As St. Thomas Aquinas says, that beatific vision, that awe of God is so amazing that for all eternity we're going to be in awe of how beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving our God is. He's so magnificent that there's no words to describe him, and we will just be there, and for all eternity he will reveal himself to us, and we will never ever be able to fully understand or fully comprehend who he is, because he's God Almighty, holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. And so what the Lord is saying to us is, I want you to begin to live this now, this new era of peace, joy, and happiness. He says, in fact, he says, it is my nature to give ever new beatitudes, never the same. It's always more spectacular than the last moment. Someone once told me that when you get to heaven and you have a fruit tree, say just, I mean, this is a terrible analogy, but you have a fruit tree in your, at your place. You pick the fruit and you take a bite of it and you go, wow, this is the best fruit I've ever had in my life. And then you look up and there's another fruit there and you take a, pick that and bite it. This is even more delicious than what the last one I had. And then you look and there's another fruit and you pick it and you go, this is even more delicious. See, it's God, ever new beatitudes, ever new beauties, ever new whole. It's we're going to experience for all eternity how beautiful God is. And God says, I want to share this with my children. This someone would be a hindrance to my happiness who didn't want to be in heaven. He didn't want the beauty of heaven. He said, it would be a hindrance to my happiness. And that soul would close inside my womb the joys that I, God, want to issue forth. And then he says, so what happened with you, Louisa? You would be a hindrance to my happiness, to ever new joys that my most holy divine will possesses. He says, always fiat, always yes, 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 Lord. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to constantly say yes to him so that the kingdom can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. My daughter, he says, this is volume 20, 125, 1927. My daughter, this is the true image of living in my eternal volition. He says, the soul copies the divine will within herself, and the supreme will copies the soul in such a way that your creator keeps the copy of your image impressed within his womb. See, what's happening is, Jesus says, when we enter into this gift of the divine will, we become one with God. Why? God sees within himself his image, his likeness. That's so beautiful. And he says, I make a copy of that for me forever. I begin to see this child of mine, this little child of the divine will, one with me, fused with me. And he's saying, you receive, as he says here, you receive in such a way the copy of your creator within yourself. And God receives a copy of you within himself. It's mutual possession. You know, the saints were to know, love, and serve God. We are called to know, love, and possess God. That's what God is asking, to know, love, and possess God. Our Lord loves us so much. Our Lord cares for us so much that he is asking us to let go of the human, the fallen human nature, and begin to embrace the humanity that Jesus possessed without doing his human will, the humanity that Our Lady possessed without doing her human will. See, it's when God breathed into the dust and out of the dust came the image of likeness of God, that is true humanity. The fallen humanity is filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And God is really asking us, would you be willing to let go of that? He says, I'm not gonna force you. If you want to keep it, if you want to be miserable, if you want to be separate from eternity, then keep it. See, you have to be in God's image and likeness. This is what Jesus is waiting for. He's waiting for this to happen. So he says he holds the soul so dear. See, he calls us his dearest children. He says, when I look at the little children of the Holy Divine Will, they are my dearest children. Because he sees her exactly as he issued her from her origin. Our origin is God. She has lost nothing of the freshness and the beauty of God. See, image and likeness of God, that's what God wants for us. And he's really asking us, would you be willing to do this? Would you be willing to give up your fallen nature, your human will, to begin to live in my most holy divine will? His paternal features are impressed in this copy. See, it's what God sees in us is himself. And this copy in the paternal womb of God sings for him the divine praises of all creation with all his works. So what's happening? We're recognizing every leaf on a tree as a divine I love you. Every blade of grass, every grain of sand. And we're giving back to God. We breathe in the all the I love you of God to us through creation. And we breathe it back to him. And I love you because of this. I want to give back to you all the I love yous that you have given to me. See, it's not to love God humanly any longer, but to love God divinely. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. And he says, Jesus says, and whispers continuously to God's ear, you made everything for me. You, God, loved me and loved me so very much that I want to convert everything. Everything that you have given me, everything into love back to you. And I love you for creation. I when we look at the stars at night, I love you, Lord. You've made all these stars for me. I want to breathe in all this. I love you in the heavens, and I want to give back to you what you gave to me. Now think about it. What God gave to us is perfection. It's to begin to live in his holy divine will. And as we breathe this in, our whole prayer life changes. Think about this. We whisper back to God, you, Lord, have made everything for me. Did we ever say that to him before? More than likely, no. So what Jesus is saying is, can you whisper this in my ear? Begin to live this life. I will teach you how to do this and why I ask you to do this. What's the why? You, Lord, loved me, and you love me so very much that I want to convert everything back to into love to give to you, back to you, Lord. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship you. I glorify you. This is what God is asking. This is what God is beginning to do. He's beginning to live in us in a way that is astonishing. It's God saying to us, I love you, I praise you, I thank you for being my child. Will you give back to me all the I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. This is what God is looking for. He's asking us to begin to live this I love you. So God is doing this. And how glorious is this? God is doing this because he loves us so much. This copy is the portent of God in his womb. Louisa is the memory of all God's works. See, it's everything that he has given us to us. He says people get up in the morning and they look at the sunrise and they don't say, thank you, Lord. I love you too. People, hey, there's a rainstorm and they're not saying thank you for all these I love yous. See, what's happening is it's really a new beginning. We're beginning to pray the way Jesus prayed. We're beginning to pray the way Mary prayed. We're beginning to pray the way Adam prayed before the fall. This copy is the portent of God in his womb. She is the memory of all his works. This is the copy of the soul in God. This is the copy of God in the soul and the carrying out of divine life within the creature. See, this is what God wants. He wants us, this human life that he gave was to carry out the divine life in us. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly, what we've learned for the last 2,000 years, but to share in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. It's really a new beginning that's coming. And the Lord is asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. How glorious is this? How spectacular is this? That our God is bringing about a new beginning. And he's given it to us through little Louisa. How beautiful is the kingdom of my most holy divine will. The nothing dissolved in the all, and the all fused in the nothing. The loneliness of the creature rises up to divine heights, and the divine heights descend to the depth of the creature. See, what's happening is God is beginning to possess us, and we are going to possess God. That's why we were created. That, you know, you hear about the possession of the evil one in souls, where they live a demonic life. This is not what God wants. He wants to reign in there, in us. He wants. So how beautiful is the kingdom of my divine will? The nothing, that's us, dissolved in the all. We are that drop of water into the infinite ocean. And the all fused into the nothing. The lowliness of the creature rising up to the divine heights, and the divine heights descending into the depths of the creature. This is what God has planned. This is why he created us. And now he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. He says this, they are two beings clasped together, inseparable, transfused, identified, such that it can barely be recognized that there are two lives palpitating together. The two become one. Again, going back to what Jesus says, heaven is like going to be like a wedding feast. The two are going to become one. Two beings clasped together. Two beings inseparable. Two beings transfused. Two beings identified in such a way that they can barely be recognized that there are two lives palpitating together. We become one with God. All the magnificence, all the sanctity, all the sublimeness, all the prodigies of the kingdom of my divine will shall be precisely this. The faithful copy of the soul in God. To see what God is looking for. He wants us to be like him, a faithful copy of the soul in God, and the copy of God, whole and beautiful in the soul. It's not just we surrender to God and then God dominates us. No. You see the great humility of God. God begins to reign in us in such a way that we dominate him. He dominates us. It's a marriage. You know, Jesus came to earth for a bride. His church is his bride, and he will marry his bride collectively, all of us, but he will marry his bride individually, each one of us. Jesus says that to Louisa, it will be as if each one of us had their own Jesus. How magnificent is this, that our Lord is going to bring about a new beginning. All the magnificence, all the sanctity, all the sublimeness, all the prodigies of the kingdom by divine will should be precisely this, the faithful copy of the soul in God and the copy of God, whole and beautiful in the soul. Therefore, the children of the kingdom of my divine will, the kingdom of the divine fiat, shall be many images of little gods in my kingdom. See, our uniqueness is what God loves. This is why he has created us individually with different irises and different fingerprints and different voices, different sizes, different shapes, different colors. He loves this uniqueness. He wants to produce in us a divine masterpiece. That's what he said to Louisa. So he's looking at us, and how can he produce a divine masterpiece in our uniqueness? It's when God is reigning one with us, a faithful copy of God, whole and beautiful in our soul. This is what God is waiting for. And this is why he says, he's not completely happy. There's no one he can give this to except Louisa. He gave it to the Blessed Mother, of course. She's the Mother of God, Theotokos. But what's happening is it's a new beginning that's coming. A new beginning for mankind. The way God originally planned. So it's not new at all. It's the oldest of all gifts. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life. So Jesus tells us this. He shows us this. He wants us to know this. Volume 20, 130, 1927. My daughter, voluntary pains have such power over the divinity as to have the divine strength, the divine empire, to tear the womb of the celestial father. And from this tearing, they form in God, and they form in God. They make seas, oceans of grace overflow, flowing the triumphant, the triumph of the supreme majesty, and the triumph of the creature who possesses this empire of her voluntary pains. Now, what does that mean? Jesus volunteered to die for us. He volunteered to be crucified. He volunteered to shed every drop of blood. He volunteered to be scourged. He volunteered to carry the cross. He volunteered. And when Jesus says, when a soul volunteers, what does that mean? That doesn't mean you ask for pain. It doesn't mean that. It means, Lord, whatever you want, I want. Whatever you have planned for me, so be it. So let's look at our lives. Each one of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And it doesn't mean that if you have a headache, you don't take an aspirin. It doesn't mean that. In our lives, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering is there. And it's to say to the Lord, this is the way you're going to make of me a divine masterpiece. It's always through suffering. Why? When the Father looks down upon the earth and he sees a soul that wants to be one with him, he says, then I'd like you to be like my son, Jesus. I'd like you to be like my daughter, Mary, the mother of God, Theotokos. Let's look at the Blessed Mother. There was no reason why she had to be at Golgotha watching her son die. Jesus wanted her there. He wanted her to participate in his sufferings. His sufferings were redemptive. Suffering is redemptive. And today, unfortunately, you have at many hospices a means to eliminate suffering so that the person does not suffer. It's suffering is redemptive. And they're losing the beauty of that soul. A lot of people, when they die, they go through an agony, you know, the agony of death. And what happens at that point is their time in purgatory is shortened. See, we got to be perfected. Suffering purifies us. I know when my mom was dying, she said, even before that, she says, don't let me go to the hospital. She says, they'll just over-morphine me and I won't be able to suffer. See, she understood suffering as redemptive. And she willingly suffered. You look at Paul VI, he wore a hair shirt when he was dying. A hair shirt. I mean, this is horse hair. In New York City, Cardinal Spellman, he had bone cancer. And he says, I will take nothing to ease my pain. They understand that suffering is redemptive. And they want to make amends for anything that they may have done to offend the Lord. This is how we have to begin to start thinking, you know. And it doesn't mean you enjoy suffering. It doesn't mean that at all. It's like Jesus said, voluntary pains have such power over divinity as to have the divine strength, divine emperor to tear the wombless lustre father, and from this tearing they form in God, they make seas of graces overflow, forming the triumph of the supreme majesty, the triumph of the creature who possesses this empire of her voluntary pains. A lot of times when there's things that are impossible, people worry and are fearful and are anxious and complaining and negative. What we learn to do is say, fiat, Lord, this is what you are asking me to go through, fiat. I say yes. Let it happen as you want it. Not as I want it, but as you want it. I know many people, they go through sufferings and they say, why did God do this? You know, it's like, my goodness gracious. He knows what we need. Let's look at your life. Everything that you've gone through. If you didn't go through the terrible things, the horrible things, the painful things, you would not be who you are today. And it's not that God wants this. He wants suffering for you. No. It's if he's going to make of us a divine masterpiece, we are a block of marble, say, for example. He's got to chip away all that he doesn't want. And this is what the Lord is doing in our lives. Little by little, this is the great thing. Little by little, he's changing us, transforming us. He's transmuting us. And he's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Volume 21, 2, 26, 19, 27. So, as you see, the acts of the soul in my most holy divine will reigns, are formed in heaven. I read this wrong. So, as you see, the acts of the soul in whom my divine will reigns are formed in heaven. God knows exactly what he has planned for us. And my first pastor would say to me, you can do it the hard way or my way. And he was always correct. There is an easy way, and it's God's way. It might be painful. It might be uncomfortable. But God has a perfect way for us. And that's where the fiat comes in. So he says, as you see, the acts of the soul in whom my divine will reigns are formed in heaven. In the soul, in the womb of her creator, they descend upon earth through the three cords of power, wisdom, and love, and ascend again back to their spouse to bring back the glory that's due to us, Triune God. So again, everything that's happening, all that God is asking of us, he says he's got a perfect plan. You know, we say, well, I'm free. I can do what I want. No. That's anarchy. Freedom is, Lord, what do you have planned for me? I want to do it. I know that you have a perfect plan. I want to be part of your perfect plan. Whatever you have planned, so be it. Again, it's to say to the Lord, you are my Lord, my Master, my King, my Savior, you're my God, you're my all. Whatever you want, I want. That's the fiat. That's what God is looking for. He says very clearly, and I, God, delight very much in pulling these cords so as to make everyone hear the sound of these mysterious bells, these beautiful bells. He knows how to do everything perfectly. He is God Almighty. He's in charge. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. That's why we genuflect in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. You're my God. You're my Creator. You're my Redeemer. You're my Savior. And when Jesus says this, he says, I delight. When I, as God, can do what I have planned to make everyone hear the sound of these mysterious bells, I delight when this happens. Now, do we let God delight in us, but with our fiat? Or are we always complaining? Are we always negative? Are we always grumpy? Are we always, not happy? To be happy is to live the life of God. To be happy is to recognize God is in charge. To be happy is to live the life of heaven. To be peaceful is to live the life of heaven. So he says this. Now, my daughter Louisa, my divine will makes its explosion in the sun, and just as my divine will veils the host that conceals my life, so does it have the veils of the light that conceals it in the sun. So he's saying the divine will is veiled. Okay, he veils the life of Jesus. Excuse me, Jesus in the host. And he says, just like the veils of light that conceal the divine will in the sun. Now think about this. He's trying to open our eyes to see what is really there. And again, St. Thomas Aquinas says that when we die, the veil is lifted as we die. As you get closer and closer to death, you begin to see more and more from a spiritual perspective. You begin to understand things from Christ's point of view. So he says this, "Yet who makes a genuflection? Who sends a kiss of adoration? Who says a thank you to my most holy divine will exposed in the Son?" No one, he says. No one. What ingratitude. And yet, in spite of this, it does not stop. It is always stable in doing good. And within its veils of light, it follows the steps of man. It invests his actions. Whatever path he may take, its light makes itself found in front of him and behind him, carrying him as though in triumph within its womb of light in order to do good to him, to dispose, to do good to him, and to give him light even if he did not want it. You see what God is doing? He's saying, I want you to be aware of me and my divine will all around you. On the leaves of the tree and the blades of grass and the grains of sand and the clouds and the sun and the stars and the moon, I want you to begin to thank me. Everything has been created for you. You possess everything. Do you thank me? Volume 21, 4:24, 1927. So our outpouring of divine love, our breath is unleashed continuously from within our divine womb, and it runs to breathe over the generations of souls, of creatures. So the love of God, the breath of God, it's breathing on us. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, come beat in my heart beating. Come, divine will, come reign in me. He says very clearly, so hovering within all creation, our outpouring of love invests heaven and earth, the sun, the sea, the wind, the water, and it runs towards souls. Everything is coming at us with an I love you. Do we hear it? Do we smell it? Do we taste it? Do we see it? Do we touch it? He says, I've made your senses for God. We have to begin to understand that he wants us to experience his I love you. If it were not so, the heavens would shrink, the stars would be scattered, the sun would become poor in light, the water would be lacking, the earth would produce neither plants nor fruits, because since our divine life of our divine love hovering within and all things would be missing, these would withdraw into our source from which they came. And if our breath were to be missing, the generations of souls would end, because they are nothing other than sparks that our breath sends out in order to fundicate the growing generation. God is doing this. God is bringing about a new beginning. And he's asking us, are you willing to see? Are you willing to have the veil lifted from your eyes? Are you willing to begin to see heaven? This is what the Book of Heaven does. You can't be the same after you've read this, after you've studied it, after you've put it into practice. I know so many good souls, and they're miserable. They're miserable. They're good souls, but they're filled with anger. They're good souls, and they're filled with fear and anxiety and complaints and negativity and sin. Jesus says, I'm tired of this. Now is the time for you to begin to live my life. Not just a virtue or two like the saints, but my life, my mother's life, the new Adam and the new Eve. And he says to us, here is Louisa. She's for you if you wish. Volume 21, 5:24, 1927. My daughter, each act that the divine will does united with the soul forms a divine life. Every time you say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Throughout this day, Lord, every time I breathe, let it become a divine life. Jesus says, it's going to. And that breath that I love you, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, that Jesus breathes in your breathing is eternal. It never ends. 1,000 million years from now, you will look at that breath that I love you, and you will say, that's still alive. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I adore you. I worship you. It's still alive. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's beginning to let us live a life that he had planned from the beginning. Each act that the divine will does, united with the soul, forms a divine life. In fact, my divine will, being divine, cannot help forming divine lives in its acts. In such a way that whenever the divine will reigns, excuse me, as the soul operates, as the soul speaks, thinks, palpitates, etc., my divine will makes its work, makes its word, makes its thought, makes its heartbeat flow within that of the creature. See, Jesus is doing this. You know, when somebody says, well, I'm going to do my divine acts, that's heresy. A human can't do divine acts. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. In the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. So this explosion of I love yous come to the throne of God to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says this. Forming its first act, first in its act, in its word, and then giving birth of its divine life. So what's happening is the life of God flows within that of the creature, first forming in her its act, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, in its word, and then giving birth of its divine life. Do you see what God is doing? It's a new beginning that's happening. He's teaching you how to pray the way he prayed, Jesus prayed, because you're saying to him, Jesus, pray in my praying. Jesus, walk in my walking. Jesus, Lord, Savior, Master, King, I want never, ever, ever to be separated from you. So in everything that the soul does, the soul releases from within herself so many divine lives as to fill both heaven and earth with as many divine images of divine life. And therefore the soul becomes the reproducer, the bilocator of the divine life. This is what the divine will is about. The soul becomes the reproducer and the bilocator of the divine life. That's what Jesus did. That's what Mary did. That's what they taught Louisa. Now, as we begin to learn this, this is why you read, you study, you put into practice. Put this into practice with your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day. Jesus will ask you. I mean, he's saying, why are you doing this? Why are you walking? Why are you washing the dishes? He'll ask us this. As Lord, as Savior, as Master, why are you doing this? Lord, I'm doing this in the divine will. Lord, you wash the dishes in me washing the dishes. You, Jesus, walk in my walking. You, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Become a reproducer. Become a bilocator of the divine life. This is what Jesus is asking of us. My most holy divine will is not less powerful in the soul in whom it reigns with the fullness of its dominion that it is within the womb of the three divine persons. So listen to what he says. My divine will is not less powerful in the soul in whom it reigns. Is the divine will reigning in you? With the fullness of his dominion. Is the divine will reigning in you in the fullness of his dominion? He says, if this is true, then it is within the womb of the three divine persons. God is doing it. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. I don't want to humanly breathe anymore. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. I don't want to humanly have my heart beat ever again. I want you, Jesus, to beat in my heart beating. I want you, Jesus, to breathe in my breathing. You, Jesus, are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I need you, Lord, to do this. I need you, Lord, to begin this in my life. Why? Because this is what you taught Louisa. this is what you're teaching me, and I want this more than anything. I want to begin to live this abundant life that you, Jesus, are asking me to live. I want this gift more than anything. So I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you with your adoration, with your divine love, with your divine praise. I love you as you expect to be loved as a God, and that's divinely. So you, Jesus, do this in me. I give you the opportunity. I want you to reign in me so that you can receive what God has given to you, that I can receive what you're giving to me. Thank you. God bless you. Len there, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.